The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 6th of January, 2026. You are very welcome along to The Greg Hughes Show. We're with you between now and 11 a.m. with all the very latest news, views and your opinions, of course. A little later on, very shortly in fact, we are going to be hearing tributes to the late, and I can say, great Stephen McCahill, Mr. Ardra, as we learned on the show yesterday, though he hadn't been formally named at that point, that very sadly he died as a result of a tragic incident in Ardra yesterday. There's been an outpouring of grief, an outpouring of tributes to Stephen, and we'll be hearing those very, very shortly indeed. If you want to share in that, please get in touch with us in the usual contacts. Before we move on in the programme, though, it's our triple take. We kick off with a look at three of the big stories making the papers this morning. On an international level, I'm a decent man, I'm innocent. Maduro pleads not guilty to US charges. Toppled Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro pleaded not guilty yesterday to narcotics charges after US President Donald Trump stunned his stunning capture of him, rattled world leaders and left officials in Caracas scrambling to regroup. And it's quite interesting, particularly a note on the broadcast media. Now, I'm no Maduro supporter, by the way, do not get me wrong, but I am very interested in how stories are covered. And I do note it must be an editorial situation as it relates to the wording that he's not kidnapped, he wasn't abducted, but he was seized or taken from Venezuela, which is quite interesting because that's an editorial policy. That's a decision that has to be made. So that's the decision they've made. I am innocent. I'm not guilty. I'm a decent man. I am still president of my country, Mr. Maduro, 63, said through an interpreter before being cut off by U.S. District Judge Alvin Hellerstein in Manhattan Federal Court. And it's quite interesting, really, in what has been achieved in this, because in Venezuela, his deputy is now the leader. And if he is the head of a mafia, well, his entire mafia is still in situ in Venezuela. It does make you wonder what it's all about or what is to come next. Obviously, the issue of immigration, migration, asylum seekers dominated 2025. And some interesting statistics from it. About 1,550 asylum seekers voluntarily left Ireland last year by December 19th. The figures represent a significant rise compared to 2024, when 934 people left Ireland by way of voluntary return. While there was an overall increase in the number of asylum seekers voluntarily leaving Ireland in 2025, there was no marked rise from September, despite the government offering larger financial incentives for people who left. So the majority of those that left before they were being paid to do so. Typically, at least 100 international protection applicants voluntarily leave the state each month. In September, 100 people left, increasing to 154 in October and 125 in November. And it might simply be the fact that they want to go somewhere else. You know, there might not be any, you know, it might not necessarily be attributed to any particular policies. We simply don't know unless you dig into those figures a little bit more. And in the Irish Daily Mail this morning, we were talking yesterday about health insurance and who it benefits. We heard from Dr. Peter O'Rourke. He's in no doubt it benefits the private hospitals. But still, many of you pay it, and you could pay less. Quitting the smokes will not only save you cash from not buying cigarettes, but also slash thousands from your life insurance premiums. Premiums could be cut by as much as half if a smoker quits for at least 12 months. And that applies to vaping as well, by the way. Over a 25-year policy, the savings can add up to tens of thousands of euro, depending on your age and amount of cover. Barry McCutcheon of insurer Royal London Ireland said, quitting smoking not only improves your health, but can also significantly cut your life insurance costs. That's three of the bigger stories making the headlines in the papers today.
The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio. Text WhatsApp 086 60 25000. Call 074 91 25000 or email comments at highlandradio.com.
Now, community groups, organisations and individuals across our county and beyond have been posting tributes online for well-known businessman and community activist Stephen McCahill. The father of two and former Donegal Person of the Year was pronounced dead after emergency teams responded to an assault at his home in Ardrah in the early hours of yesterday morning. The former independent general election candidate, who was originally from Glenties, was also an auctioneer, publican and director of a number of companies. I spoke to him on many occasions, both on this programme and informally, when we would bump into each other at various events, and he was truly a gentleman. And always a pleasure to be in the company of, and someone who did as much as anyone possibly could to advocate for their area. We spoke to him not so long ago, and again, of course, he was speaking about Ardrah, the town that he loved so much, and it was in the context of how hotels were doing in Dublin, for an example, whilst hotels were shutting in his beloved Ardrah.
Yeah, I was talking to the owner, and he had 98% occupancy in the last year, and the restaurants, number three or four restaurants in the hotel, all doing great business. You can't relate that to rural Ireland, and that's the sad reality that our government is doing. They're comparing us to the big cities, and they need to segregate that in some form or other, because like what's happened there in that last budget, like, has been just terrible for small businesses, with no reduction in VAT rate, an increase in the minimum wage. Nothing against any of those increase in the minimum wage, but it needs to be supplemented with some facility for people who are putting their head on the line and employing people and keeping rural Ireland alive, because rural Ireland is so wonderful. It's where we live. It's a great place to live. We have fantastic community spirits. We have great sporting facilities. We have everything here, and it's a great place, and we need to bring back our people who have left. But we need to show them some incentive. We need people who are coming back to see that if they set up in business, that it's not a rope around their neck, that they have an opportunity to develop. And we in Ardrah, as you know, have always been on the positive, and we are still very much on the positive. Because when our hotel closed, when our hotel was not available for commercial use anymore, we as a group came together, and our flagship, of course, is ardrah.ie, and we set up a WhatsApp group for accommodation providers, and I think we have about maybe 50 accommodation providers, and it's just wonderful, and it's quite emotional to see it, particularly during the Cup of Tea Festival, where if someone called to some provider and they had an accommodation, it went up on the WhatsApp right away that there's three people looking for three rooms, and they were facilitated within minutes.
The late and great Stephen McCahill there, and that just sums the man up there. Very considered, balanced, positive, but also using his platform to highlight the differences that can be out there, urban versus rural, in that context. Councillor Anthony Molloy joins me on the programme now. And Anthony, obviously, first and foremost, my condolences on the loss of someone very, very close to you. It's very difficult to get one's head around this happening and that Stephen is no longer with us.
Yes, good morning, Greg. And yes, indeed, it's so hard to understand. And you know, yesterday was a dark and sorrowful day in our community, and I have lost a true and loyal and trusted friend. And, you know, Stephen, he was respected by young and old in our community, Greg, and central to all good things that happened in our community. Stephen, as you know, he was the driving force in any development in Ardrah, and devoted his life, you know, to the betterment of Ardrah. And indeed, outside of Ardrah as well, Greg, you know, he helped so many, many people throughout his life. He was a unique person, and nothing was ever a problem to him, Greg.
Yeah, indeed. And what springs to mind too is the flag program and his understanding of you know, the western coast and the ability, you know, of a funding stream for some fantastic developments. He took that, I know personally from speaking to him, very, very seriously. But it's so many layers to you know, who he was and what he achieved, Anthony. You would have known him, would you, before 1992, or is that when your friendship really became solid?
No, our friendship would go back. I worked in Dublin for a short period in 1979 when after I done my leaving, Sir Greg, and most of all my family were in Dublin along with Stephen at that time as well, and I was there. I got to know Stephen. I was only about 18 at the time, and Stephen has been such a great friend of mine and indeed the families like since that, and he has helped me in so many, many ways, Greg, as an advisor, as a confidant, and so many different aspects of my life, you know. And when 92 came along, he took over my management end of things. Yeah. I would never have managed things like without Stephen. And he was just that type of a person, you know, and nothing ever fazed him, and nothing was ever a problem to him. And as you said there, you know, Stephen, he was involved in so much stuff throughout, like Ardra, and indeed the county as well. Like, as you know, he was Donegal Person of the Year. He played a huge part in the development of the GAA in Ardra as well, as chairman and as treasurer and underage manager as well. He served on countless, I don't know, many different boards that Stephen served on across the county. And as you know, a hugely successful businessman and above all, a great family man. And I just often wondered, you know, where Stephen got the time and energy from. And just a total remarkable, a truly remarkable person, and an inspiration to us all, Greg.
Yeah, a difficult time for his family and friends, and our thoughts very much with the McCahill and the Maloney families at this time, without going too much into that. But there's a lot of people very directly affected by this, and we are good in Donegal at come together at times like this, and I'm sure this will be no different.
No, exactly, like, and we will get the strength, and we will rally around the families and that there, and we will do our best, and we are so lucky here that we have a great community, and always have been, and we will miss Stephen dearly, there's no doubt about that. And also, just like to offer my condolences as well to the McCall and Maloney families at this very difficult time, Greg.
Okay, Anthony, thanks so much. And again, I'm very sorry at the loss of your friend. It's a very sad time.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Anthony Molloy there. Fianna Fáil Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher is with us as well. Pat, I mean, with someone like Stephen who contributed so much, and it feels like he had so much yet to do and would have done that, it's hard to know where to begin in terms of sort of reflecting on his wonderful contribution to the county and beyond.
Well, I know Stephen for many years, going back to as far back as 1981 when he came back to Killybegs to work with a company that I worked with myself before I got involved in politics, Campbell Seafoods in Killybegs. And since that, we have been great friends. And through all of that time, our paths crossed maybe once or twice every week. But Stephen was one of the finest characters I knew. And most of the times that he rang me, or indeed Anthony, it wasn't about Stephen McCahill. It was about the community of Ardra that was first and foremost on his mind, involved in so many organisations. And he was a person who was interested in others all the time. And all that time, Greg, I never heard Stephen McCahill raise his voice or get angry. He had a great approach. And once he came on the phone, or once he met him, you were anxious to help him or to help those who he was anxious to assist. And he was a great community man. And he has outlined, as indeed have others, all the organisations that he was involved in, so many. And he was extremely successful.
Yeah, and originally from Glenties, but I mean, the majority of people know him simply as Mr. Ardra. That just became, you know, obviously everything to him.
Yeah, Well, he spread his wings wider than that. There's the organisation that was known as the Gap, Glenties, Ardra, Port New, and then you have Coach Rosbeg. So he was interested in all of those areas. But when he moved from Derry's to Ardra, then he became known as the Mr. Ardra and involved in all the organisations. I remember even on Patrick's Day, when there were very few parades in the county, Anthony always held one and stayed in the background. I remember reading the platform in Ardra, and he wasn't out front at all, very much to the background, and extremely successful in everything. The cup of tea, who else would have thought that the cup of tea festival, that it would have attracted so many people to the town of Ardra. So he was, and he always saw the glass half full rather than half empty.
And of course, if circumstances were different, we still would be having this conversation. But people are struggling to come to terms with in the wider community to the nature of his passing. And I'm sure that's what you're feeling and sensing across the county too, Pat. It makes a hard to comprehend situation all the more difficult. Now, of course, you know, we're both being careful in our language here, but we have to recognise that this has a particular impact on the community.
Of course, and Anthony, as he said about Stephen, his death is so untimely. He had a lot more to offer, and just not to Ardra and the surrounding areas, but as was mentioned, being Donegal Person of the Year, the news spread rapidly, having been in the Patrick's Day Parade in New York after he was selected as Donegal Person of the Year. His name was known far and wide, and he still had a lot to offer. And he, of course, above all, and he was a great family man. I knew his wife, Marietta and Maloney, and then his two children, whom I've spoken with on their way from the United States, Gemma McCahill and young Stephen. And he was so, so proud of them because they've done extremely well in life, and that was paramount with him. It's just hard to comprehend. And yesterday morning when the news broke, I mean, as we say, that dark cloud descended on Donegal and further afield. And we had to pinch ourselves and ask, is this reality or is it just a dream? But unfortunately, it was reality.
Okay. Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher, thanks for your time this morning, and sorry to speak to you in the context of the loss of your friend. Noel Cunningham, Donegal Person of the Year, well-known ambassador for our county as well. And I suppose, Noel, you would have crossed paths with Stephen on many occasions, but not least, I suppose, in both of you sharing this passion for promoting the county, for promoting tourism, for having a positive take in doing so.
Absolutely. And I suppose at the outset, to mirror and repeat what some of your other contributors have said, Stephen was first and foremost a father, a grandfather, a devoted husband and family man, and a great friend, not just to Ardra, but to so many. And we had this wonderful standing joke when I would meet him. We used to whisper to one another, "Now, Stephen, as long as you're entirely clear, it's not Daniel, it's not you, I'm Mr. Donegal." And it was just that fun side of it, because his influence and his enthusiasm and his love of Donegal went far beyond, you know, the borders of Ardra, Port New, Glenties, where, you know, where his real heartland was. And you know, my sister worked with him way back in the day in Killybegs, and both for him and with him. And she said something to me very interesting last night. She is so devastated. Just goes to show you the influence of the man. She said, "You know, Noel, if I rang Stephen McCall and asked him for 10,000 this morning, I would have had it by this evening with no questions asked." And what a lovely testimony that is. And I just, out of respect to Stephen and the family, put up a post. And even some of the comments on that post that I put up, they're just quite extraordinary from all over. And you can gauge the depth of respect and love that people had for somebody who had Ardra, Donegal and Ireland at the very core of his being. And he did so much for tourism in the background. And I don't necessarily agree with Pat the Cope, because God bless him, Stephen was well capable of banging the table and making a point and getting action and moving when things needed, along. Yeah. And he would want me to say that. So it's just beyond words that that wonderful shining light has been extinguished. And in the weeks ahead, when the cameras disappear and when the radio reports stop and when the newspapers no longer carry the story, we will have to remember that there's a family and a community devastated. And it's then we must show that love and support that we're good at in Donegal. And I hope Marietta and his children know and his friends know that we are all praying and supporting and loving them in a very real way on these most tragic days.
Yeah, and obviously it's their direct personal loss, but that loss feels shared with Stephen's passing because people are so moved and have been so upset by it. A lovely person to be in the company of, Noel, you know, had a, you know, a presence about him even before he opened his mouth. If that makes sense. And not everybody has that.
I'm so glad you said that, because he most certainly had that presence, that gift that some people have, that you can walk into a room and somehow or other sprinkle a little bit of gold dust. And he had that gorgeous smile and that lovely engagement with people and that ability to touch people and to, you know, draw them toward him. And then chat and laughter and fun and sometimes serious matters were thrown on that sort of little group discussion. And we were all the better for it afterwards, because you came away feeling better or maybe a little bit irked that he kind of pointed something out that was so bloody obvious that we weren't actually doing for tourism or for community or for people in general. He just had that gift and was gifted. And I'm so glad you said that, that lovely ability to light up a room.
Now, it did help that the majority of the times I bumped into him, he was in a very nice tuxedo, but he could carry that very well indeed. And just a wonderful, warm individual. But good to get an understanding from him too, that he could... he could assert himself too if the need required. And I think you mentioned about support, Noel, about support for all of the families involved in this incident, because, you know, there is grief and there's loss and there's bereavement, but also too trauma. And, you know, that's where extra levels of support need to be in there, because this is very traumatic. Any loss is terrible, but... trauma is another layer of support that's required.
Absolutely. That support, and thankfully, and people should always know that there's no shame in seeking support and help, because the depth of this trauma is quite extreme. And as I said, the weeks ahead, we will all row in behind and do what is necessary. And one has to, as I said, just remember there are so many people involved in this awful, awful story that we just have to be mindful, not to be judgmental, to be supportive, to be loving, to care and help the family, the friends, the community through these dark times toward that light that somehow is there, because we can't forget that Stephen was a light in the community, and we cannot extinguish that light. We have to help keep it alive and keep it burning and keep remembering that's exactly what he was. And people like that, they don't just pass away, they remain around us and with us, and his influence will certainly live on.
He will never be forgotten. There's no doubt about that. Thank you, Noel. I appreciate your time this morning. Look after yourself. Our own Sinead Black, presenter here on Highland Radio and singer, of course. I didn't realise, Sinead, that you performed weekly at the Corner Bar in Ardra, so you know firsthand the wonderful person Stephen was.
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, we're still very numb. It's a bit like living in a movie, and I suppose hard to come to terms with the character and the huge personality and pillar that we've lost. Stephen was a huge supporter and driving force behind the Irish music scene and created pathways of opportunity for musicians both in Donegal and further afield. He welcomed everybody into the bar, and I grew a huge friendship with him over the past while. I'm sorry now for getting upset. But he just changed so many lives publicly that you can hear, you know, but privately too, which it was lovely to get to witness. He was a silent supporter, and if you met him once, he made sure you were welcomed. He made time for you. He made sure you were listened to, and he held space for you. And no matter your problems, he always instilled this thinking in everyone he met to always be positive. We just celebrated 25 years with him. His pub's open 25 years just on the 19th of December, and it was such a joyous occasion, and it was a lovely memory that so many of us celebrated with him.
And it is hard to comprehend, isn't it? That it is
because
reality.
We spoke weekly, we spoke weekly and daily, and he had lots of plans for 2026. He was going to be a very busy man, and he was always striving to do the next thing he could do for his community and his fellow friends, and even for me personally. You know, I used to meet him once a week for a coffee, and I used to always joke and say to him, "What do you actually do? Like, you do nothing. You run around." You know, you always met him with this calm presence of doing nothing really, but it's very inevitable that he did above and beyond, and it's inevitable in his passing now how much he did for us as people and Donegal and as a community. And he was a massive mentor to me and so many, and he's a huge loss.
He really is. And, you know, I mean, obviously we are engaged in it at the moment where, you know, we tend to remember and speak fondly of someone after they have passed. The one thing hopefully people can take comfort from is that he was celebrated for his achievements, you know, whilst he was present, if that makes sense, Sinead, through the Donegal Person of the Year and other nice things that were done for him and said about him.
Absolutely, and I suppose it's a lovely reminder and thought to carry in the coming days for, you know, the community and his family and friends, that he would be urging us, if he was here now, to be staying positive and to be leaning on each other like we all leant on him on a pillar. And I suppose that's very important now in the coming days ahead, that we do all lean on each other and remain to be a strong community in his lovely memory, you know.
Okay, look after yourself, Sinead. I'm sorry for your personal loss as well, Sinead Black there. We'll be back with more in just a couple of moments. I'm joined on the programme now by Councillor Martin Harley, who is also chairperson of the Vintners Federation in Donegal. Martin, thanks for joining us this morning. Unfortunately, under this dark cloud, speaking on the loss of the late and great Stephen McCahill.
Yeah, God rest Stephen. I knew Stephen really well, and just couldn't believe it yesterday morning when the news was breaking as to what had happened, and then the tragic circumstances, and then who it was. Then I'd spent time with Stephen and Ardra at the funeral of Patricia Slowey, councillor, the previous councillor, Karen Slowey's wife, and we had a great chat about business and all that there, and Christmas and how busy it was and different things like that. And looking forward to 26, and he was a great community person, always talking about festivals and different things that he ran in Ardra and all. And it's a terrible loss, and it's for his wife Marita and son Stephen and daughter Gemma and grandchild. It's a tough time ahead for them.
In terms of his contribution, it's so multifaceted, Martin, and we heard from Sinead Black a little earlier that sometimes his relaxed demeanour would belie how busy he is, if that makes sense. So whilst he's sort of on community groups or like the FLAG program, whether he's involved in sort of advocating for better resources for rural Ireland, working in certain areas of tourism, the hotel industry, but also then too in the vintners area, you know what I mean, the wet bar side of things. Always had an interest, always had something going on, always looking for solutions.
Yeah, now Stephen was like as well. He was on the board of Donegal ETP as well, along with myself, this last couple of years, and a great addition to it as well. Because, as you say, great knowledge of all things that were from sport to education to business. Like he had a great, and as you say, he seems so relaxed. You think to yourself, how can this man be so relaxed? Because he was involved in so much, and previous chair, treasurer of Ardra GAA as well, and. I mean, he was...
But also a confidant to so many people as well, Martin. He found the time in all of that to make these genuine connections with so many different people, which is remarkable.
That's right, yeah. That's probably,
generosity.
That's part of the reason he became Donegal Person of the Year, like, because of his wide range and of his help throughout different things across Ireland. And you know, it's amazing how he fitted so much into his life, and it's just so sad that it's come to such a tragic end. He'd be terribly missed, not alone by his family, but the community of Ardra and the area, surrounding areas, because he just anybody, if you knew anybody from Ardra, you mentioned Stephen McGill, like, of course, we know Stephen McGill, like, it was it's a very dark day, and it's I don't know what's ahead for the family, but it's a tough time.
It sure is, Martin. Thanks for helping us remember Stephen and your friend as well too. And he's one of those people that it feels like you could speak to hundreds of people, of whom he was a personal friend, if that makes sense. And there's so few people you could speak to of that. That's how personable he was.
Yeah.
Martin, thank you for your time. I do appreciate it. That's Councillor Martin Harley, who's chair of the Vintners Federation in Donegal, speaking of his personal loss. Obviously, he had spent some time with Stephen last week, met him regularly. Their lines would have crossed. Right, before we go to a break, Erno is with me now. You moved to Ardra 17 years ago from Hungary, if I'm correct in saying, Erno, and built up a relationship with Stephen.
Yes, Greg, good morning, and thank you. You're calling me back. So, with my family about 17 years ago, in 2008, we moved to Ardra. It's just seeking the better lifestyle, and my twins, they were 6 years old only on that time, and since the first moment when we stepped into Ardra, Stephen was the first person in our life. He helped us to find a school for my kids, find a health service, so of course, and find an accommodation, and. He was absolutely helpful. Even we never seen each other, never knew each other, and our English was very poor at that time. But he was very 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 patient man, and very very big heart he had. So absolutely, just I could say only he was the best man ever in our life in Ardra.
And it sounds when you needed to find a best friend with a big move into a rural area far from your home country with limited English, this must have felt like a miracle to encounter Stephen and get his help and support.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I on that time, we can't, with my wife, we can't imagine that we found the best man who can give us the best help and the much more help what he can. And that was a miracle, absolutely.
And you went on to play music as well in the Corner House Bar, is that right, Erno?
Yes. I'm playing guitar and I'm singing. Well, I'm not a not the best musician, but he was absolutely appreciate my performance. And as many years, if you go back, that's every year in August, there is a charity barbecue party, what was its memory for Gerard Sloy. And also, we've been there every time, and as many times with my friends, we visited the pubs. Even if my friend is coming over from Hungary to visiting us, we are always went down to the corner house, and you know, we had a good, very good relationship with Stephen McLean and Marietta as well.
All right, okay. Yeah. Listen, so Erno, sorry for your loss.
Absolutely shocked.
Yeah, I'm sorry for your loss as well. Obviously, someone incredibly important to you and your family's lives. Thank you very much indeed. That's Erno there.
The Greg Hughes Show is brought to you by Letterkenny Credit Union. Digital loans made easy. Apply online or through our app today and get the funds straight into your current account.
Monster Bingo every Tuesday night at Mulroy Woods Hotel. €3,300 must go with €1,000 on the last page. Doors open 7:30. Bingo starts at 8:30. That's Monster Bingo this and every Tuesday night at Mulroy Woods Hotel, Milford.
The Hidden Hearing 7-Step Hearing Assessment is reassuringly thorough. It's thorough, so background noise never steals the spotlight, letting every conversation take center stage. It's thorough, so you can step back into the world with confidence. Book your 7-step hearing assessment at hiddenhearing.ie today.
Happy New Year! Or should we say, Happy 261? Didn't get the chance to pre-order your new car? No worries, we have 261 stock ready to go. New year, new plans, and the perfect moment for a new car. You deserve it! Visit iMotors in Letterkenny or Malin. iMotors, fearless generation.
Ensure the safety of your team with SafeTech. We have part-funded courses in first aid, people moving and handling, confined spaces, food hygiene, quad bikes, fire warden, IPAF MUPES, electrofusion, welding and machinery cards for Ireland and UK sites. Also delivering online courses like utilities, water hygiene and construction supervisors. SafeTech can deliver group training at your business premises. To find out more, contact safetech.ie today.
At Eclipse Cinemas Bundoran and Leinster Ban, the stars shine brighter. This isn't just a trip to the movies, it's a VIP experience. Sit back in luxury as your favourite pizza,
yummy,
hot food and a cold drink are delivered right to your seat in any studio. But for the ultimate treat, step into the Director's Lounge, our most popular destination. Enjoy the film, enjoy the food and savour the experience. Only at Eclipse Cinemas Bundoran and Leinster Ban.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhenney's. Are you ready to save big? The McElhenney's winter sale is here with up to 50% off your favourite designer brands. Shop in store or online at McElhenney's.com.
Okay, let's take a look at that weather forecast now. And outbreaks of rain and drizzle will clear eastward through the morning with sunny spells and scattered showers following the afternoon. Temperatures of 3 to 8 degrees cooler. The further east you go, mostly moderate southwesterly winds will gradually veer northwesterly through the day. Owen Cleary's research and education expert with the Exploitation Research and Policy Institute. Good morning to you, Owen.
Morning, Greg. Good to talk to you.
Thank you so much for your time. You know, we've been talking about on this program and programs like this about the dangers of the internet and online activity for young people. It's never been as bad as it is now, and I think the sort of increase in AI in apps on social media has made it worse than it ever was, as I just said, Owen.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, AI has some fantastic uses, you know, and young people are going to gain from them just like the rest of us. But it is also in the very unregulated space that it's being rolled out. It's also being used to create huge risks for young people as well, particularly when it comes to these deepfake images that are being used. And now, I suppose, the newest thing that has come on just since the beginning of the summer is these nudification apps and AI, what are called AI girlfriends. But really, they shouldn't really be called AI girlfriends. They're really just AI sex simulating entities. And young people are being, they're not going looking for them. They're being bombarded with them on every social media platform that they're coming across. And it's causing real, and I think it's really important to say at the outset of this, I'm so sick of hearing people blaming boys about, you know, online activity. This is not about blaming or shaming boys. This is about trying to protect them because these apps are doing absolutely nothing.
Because they're being actively targeted and exploited to use these apps. They're not finding them under a stone in the garden. They're being bombarded with adverts to use these at the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, so just to explain in case anybody doesn't understand what these apps or websites do, there's about 300 of them currently, or at least 300 that have been identified, and there were none at the beginning of the summer. So this is an exploding area. And basically, you can go onto any of these apps or websites, and there is a gallery of women or men, depending on who you want to interact with. But generally, the boys are being targeted with a gallery of women, and you can scroll through these women like a dating app. And they look real. You cannot tell that they're not real. Mm. In fact, the first time I stumbled across them, I thought it was a dating app. But they are all AI-generated women, generally removing pieces of their clothing. And you can choose which one you want to interact with. And they will prompt you to ask them for sexually explicit interactions or videos. And they can send you currently up to about 6 seconds of absolutely realistic, very explicit sexual interactions that looks like a video of a real person. As well as that, you can also create your own. So you can create whatever body type you want. You can choose their breast size, their bum size, their eye color, their voice, how they interact with you. And as well as that, there's another option, and often this is something that you're encouraged to do by these apps, is to upload a picture of someone you know for reference. Mm. What it does is it then creates an AI version of this person you know. So if you're a young guy or a young girl, and you're sitting beside somebody that you have a crush on in class, but you're too scared to talk to them, you can get access to any social media that they have, upload a picture of them, and you will have access to a AI sexually explicitly interactive version of them that looks absolutely real.
But Owen, what hope do we have of cracking down on what seems almost like, you know, a secret thing that's going on that, you know, a lot of adults aren't seeing, when we have the likes of Grok now, Elon Musk's ex-platform, the AI, whereby if Michelle O'Neill or Mary Lou McDonald or a fella for that matter, but if they post a picture of themselves on that platform, you can say to put them in a bikini, and it does it to the point whereby you could re-upload that and to all intents and purposes believe that to be true. My concern is, how are we going to protect the children when adults are... It got so bad that Grok, they had to actually empty out Grok's media section on X, if people are familiar with that, because all it was is adults stripping the clothes off women. So my concern is, if that's happening in plain sight in broad daylight and adults are doing it, who is going to protect the blooming children like?
Absolutely. So there's a couple of things that we can do. Obviously, the sharing of intimate images is already illegal under COCO's law, but the generation of sexual images like that doesn't necessarily seem to be covered, because obviously these things didn't exist when the law was passed. The UK have brought in a law, announced that they're going to bring in a law banning all of these apps, which means that they can be turned off at source on the internet. They can be geo-blocked. And in the EU, for a long time, we've had to wait for the EU to act. But actually, the EU has recently allowed member states to put age verification mechanisms in place so that at a member state level, so that nation states can protect the well-being of their own young people and their own business. But you're right. We know already that these nudification apps are absolutely being used by young people, on young people, and the amount of child sexual abuse material that is now being generated by them is exploding as
and
well.
I'm sorry to say, massive you're doing what you're doing, Owen, but I have lost all faith in any national government, any EU, any body with any digital authority to do anything about this. And if people listening, and you can disagree, Owen, I don't mind, that's fine, but if people are listening and they are concerned about this, they need to check their kids' phones. Because I'm telling you, it ain't the protection. It's not going to come from above, because It simply isn't. So I think ultimately this is one of those ones where if you are worried about it, you're going to have to take responsibility for this yourself.
There's two things to say about that. One, absolutely, parents are the primary protectors of their children and they need to be, but we cannot shame children around this issue because as soon as we do that, they won't talk to us. So we've got to start, as soon as you hand your child a smartphone, you have to be willing to talk to your child about porn if you're handing them a smart device, not just a smartphone, an iPad, a smart TV, anything that gives them access to the internet. 1 in 10 9-year-olds has been exposed to porn by the end of primary school. Over half of primary school children have been exposed to it, and by the end of secondary school, it's almost everybody. And so we've got to start talking to them, but talking to them in a way that doesn't shame their curiosity, but just explains how unhealthy it can be for them and the ideas that it's giving to them about their interactions with other people. But the other thing I was going to say just about the government, we can be so frustrated with you know, the rate of change that's happening. But unfortunately, there are so many children whose parents don't have the wherewithal to be as engaged as they need to be in their lives.
Yeah,
so it has to come down to government at the end of the day. And we have to, when a councillor or a TD turns up on our doorstep looking for our vote, we have to name this as the issue that is most pressing, because there is a window currently closing of opportunity to intervene here to stop, because we know that.
But hand on your heart, do you think the leadership of this country in any scenario would go head to head with Elon Musk?
Well,
because my
really
answer to that's no.
Well, really interestingly, even at an EU level, like Ireland is actually, because X is headquartered in Dublin, we do have responsibility in Ireland for regulating them. And our regulator, our online safety commissioner, Niamh Hodnett, has won a number of court cases again. Now, they don't get a lot of coverage, but she is making great strides in, like, X tried to suggest that it wasn't even covered by our online safety code, and Commissioner Mann dragged them through the courts, and the court sided with Ireland and forced X to be compliant with it. And so we are making strides, but yes, I mean, because of obviously the vested interests of so many different issues going on, where all of those
it comes back to us,
our headquarters,
I think,
in Dublin.
Yeah. Okay,
absolutely.
Owen,
we've got to make it an issue.
Thank you so much for your time this morning. Owen Cleary, researcher and educational expert with the Exploitation Research and Policy Institution. Back after the news.